Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun, Lord, we walked in thy ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host. This is me again, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm certainly glad that you've tuned into the program today, and I'm glad to be here again to speak to you on the program here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, I say it every week that this is a motivational outreach program, and let me tell you, I want to keep it as a motivational outreach program. And you may know or you may know that there are other things going on in my life today. However, I'm going to reserve any comment on this program, this platform, today until another time. Certainly there is a lot to say. There is a lot of truth that has to be revealed. And hopefully, I will have the opportunity to speak that truth to inform the voters and the citizens of the city of Detroit. For certainly, we need truth, even in our political atmosphere, so that we can advance justice in our communities. And so there will be forthcoming a lot to say, I will be saying, but not on the program today. All right, but stay tuned, and thank you for your interest, and thank you for your concern. I'm speaking today, however, about standing in the day of persecution, which is somewhat related. And a lot of times when we speak as ministers or even as motivators, we speak from experience. We speak from going through and surviving situations. And so God will give us that, I call it a credence, a credibility to speak to those that may be experiencing the same thing. And that's why I commenced this program, Seeing Clearly in a Dark Time. And I was thinking about that title today, Seeing Clearly in Dark Times, because I wanted to change it to Seeing Clearly in the Dark. But because of the scriptures that I have named as the theme for this program, I cannot say that, because there is a time of darkness, and then there's a time when light will emerge the dark. 1 Corinthians 13:12 is that scripture. I read it every week. I'm going to read it again. This is the Amplified version of the text, and it says, "For now, in this time," you see it's temporary, "in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma, but then, that means it's time, there's a time to see in the mirror of imperfection or in that dark glass that is there. But as we progress toward our knowledge of God, that dark image, that dark glass will disappear and become clear." And so the scripture says, "But then, when the time of perfection comes, that glass will clear up." And in the Amplified version of the text, it says, "When the time of perfection comes, we will see reality." Reality is the real deal. And let me tell you something. I always say it, give me the reality of a thing. I don't care how bad it is. And it's hard sometimes to swallow reality, especially when you're living in the reality. Give me the reality of a thing, and that's where I want to be. I don't want to be looking in a clouded place where I don't know truth. So it says, "Perfection comes. When perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part, just in fragments, but then," there is that "but then" again. So there's a time element to the time we will see in the dark. There's a time element. That means it does begin and it will end. It says, "But then I will know fully, just as I've been fully known by God." Okay? In order to be known by God, you have to know God. And so there is a coming together, a meeting place, face to face, when God reveals himself, and then you can see clearly. You can see truth. So seeing clearly in the dark really is not the total truth, but you began to see clearly in the dark. And there's a time. And I think I'm experiencing that time now. We can see clearly even though things are dark, even though there's trouble, there's tribulation. You can see what God is doing in your life. Well, I have appropriately entitled this episode, Standing in the Day of Persecution, because there's just something we have to endure as believers. And if we're going to live in this world, if we're going to operate in any type of way, we should live to expect it. Not all the Christians are. There are some Christians that are not living, that want to live godly in persecution, and live godly on the earth. Some people are not all godly. They may look like it, but they're not. But there is certainly a remnant, a people that are living godly and want to live godly, you know. And they are persecuted. They are persecuted. There are circumstances that will come upon them, and you won't. Even as an observer, you will say, why her? And even the believer will say, why him? And it may be an underneath situation or circumstance that suggests that the believer wants to live godly, and therefore you're targeted. You're targeted. You are a person that will be accused. You're a person that will be slandered and defamed. Now that is not fun. Don't think I'm sitting here at all coveting being defamed or slandered or rejected. It is not something that I know anyone wants to go through. It is not like that. It is just that you live in such a way where when it comes, you have to be prepared to deal with it. And as the show is a motivational outreach, it is to reach those people who go through those circumstances, and they might not know what's going on. Maybe they're new believers. Maybe they're new to the circumstances of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. They may be asking the questions that I want to ask. Why me? Well, I'm doing right. How come, you know, I'm being persecuted? How come I am looked at as a person that's evil or named as evil? Well, they're the questions that we ask when we are confronted with adversity, calamity, persecution. But there's some answers, and I initially here in Job, when I was going through, initially I gave you a quick answer. I think that was in the second broadcast I was talking about in Job chapter 2. But as I progressed, you know, I went to Job 3. That's when Job gets depressed. See, that's where a lot of believers find themselves when there is persecution, when there are circumstances you certainly can't explain. No one can explain your family being killed all at once or the total loss of your possessions, and yet it does happen. If you look at the news every day, it's happening. In this last storm, I saw a family that lost not only their house, but their family members had died as well. So it does happen. And you might not see it in a biblical context, but it certainly happens. What are the answers that we give those people? How do we motivate and minister those people in those times? So who are answers to those questions that they may ask? And they are equipped, they can be equipped to survive such a catastrophe. As Job was in this situation, he survived. But what happened? I went through Job chapter 3, and I said he's depressed. This is an example of depression. Even though Job still did not accuse God, this is how you feel in depression. And maybe that's the show, the broadcast that I should do next week is about depression and how we think in depression. And, you know, depression basically is a kind of death attitude, a severe depression, as what Job experienced here. In the face of these tragic circumstances, he voiced it. I don't blame him. Sometimes we scold those that are speaking what they feel honestly, but those are real feelings. Those are truly what's going on in a believer's heart and in their mind, in their spirit, and they voiced it like they did here with Job. But again, in this broadcast, what I'm going to do again is help motivate someone that's moving through a calamity to deal with their circumstances and understand why they may be going through those circumstances. A lot of people like to say a whole lot of things about why someone may be attacked. People, especially believers that are walking upright, such as Job, will be attacked. Sometimes the attack will come directly from Satan himself, as was here. And then sometimes they will come through a vessel, a man or a woman, that God, Satan, will use a believer. And those are the people that I'm talking to today. Now, when we determine or decide to live righteously, there are, you get saved, you say, look, I'm saved, okay, everything is fine, I'm happy. But then there is a day when afflictions will come. Well, how do I know the afflictions will come into my life? Afflictions are troubles, tribulations, upsets. And the Bible in Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. I don't like it either, you all. I don't like it either, but it says many. So that suggests to me that there are going to be many times when afflictions will arise in the life of the righteous believer. And we don't want them. Nobody wants them, but they will arise. And so we have to prepare our mind, our heart, our thoughts to deal with affliction, to confront it. And not only confront it spiritually, but confront it. You may have to confront it in the natural. Stand tall, stand firm against affliction. And we know that it will be many, many other afflictions. Sometimes it will be, you know, every other year you might go through a test or trial, and you might say, well, you know what, I just went through this, here I go again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, with Job, he was eventually delivered, and I think next week I'm going to get back into the text itself, chapter by chapter. This book of the Bible, I mean, it's very particular in how Job went through until he saw God clearly. You see, he was in this period of darkness, and then in chapter 42, you see him being delivered, and then you see him being re-blessed. Hello. So we will get there. You will get there in a period of calamity or destruction. You will get there if you're a believer that wants to live righteously. Let me say this also, and I'm pointing to the scripture of Mark 10:29-30, and I want to read that scripture. Here is a reward when you go through persecution. Or can I say that when God is about to bless you, sometimes persecution will be the mark of that era. And how do I know that? Because I'm living as a scripture. I really am. And so perhaps with Job, the destruction that he suffered was a telltale sign that he was about to be blessed. Because we know in the end, when you look at chapter 42, he received double. I'm going to read the scripture. It says, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. I'm thinking back, I was making notes right before I came on the air, I thought back to a dream that I had. Now, this dream was about a couple of years ago, okay, and, you know, God will show you things before they actually come to pass. You may not know what it means, but then he will give you the interpretation of the dream. In this dream, there was a baby. A little baby, okay, a cute little baby in a diaper laying down, and I saw a bunch of matches, you know, the matches with the red tips, a bunch of matches that came and were sticking the baby. They were sticking the baby, and if you don't mind my amateur interpretation of it, first of all, the baby represents innocence. The baby represents someone that is not engaged in sin, a purity, if you will. And these matches were sticking the baby all over. I mean, all over, covered. The baby was covered in matches, and the red tips were actually, of the matches, were placed on the skin of the baby. And it was nothing offensive or anything violent or anything about the dream, but I thought back on that dream, and God started to speak to me about that dream and said, those matches could have been lit, but they're not lit. And so he said, that represents the persecution of the righteous, those that want to live godly, because those persecutions will come. So there's a red tip there. The matches aren't lit. And so, you know, think of if you had a match. And, you know, my sister and I are always making fires lately, and I deal with those matches all the time. But say you took a moment to take one of those matches and just put it to your skin. We know that it looks lethal, it looks dangerous, but there's the tip that is not lit. And so while it is formed against you, like that scripture, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, I shall condemn and show to be in the wrong. I may not have quoted the whole scripture, but we are going to conquer those circumstances. They are aimed against you, the weapons are. The matches are aimed against you. They're placed up against your skin, but you will have victory in those times. And God will use those persecutions to bless you. And then give you eternal life, because if you survive them, you inherit blessings in this time. He says now in this time, those who sacrifice, you will receive the blessings now. You're going to multiply now. But there will be persecution that will punctuate these blessings. And then when you get to heaven, you will get to heaven, is what I want to say. Because of the persecution. So while we are in the day of persecution, we should endure, we should stand and confront the persecutors, and know that God is going to be victory in the age, in the calamity, in the destruction, as he will be judged. Now he's going to explain it a little bit more, because there are going to be those, like with Job, his friends accused him. They even accused God, really, doing it, because Job had done something wrong. He was doing it for correction. There is such a time. I talked about 1 Corinthians 3 was 5:5. It may have been 2 Corinthians. When I reference the, when God decides to turn a believer over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, you know, I read a commentary on that this week, and it said that the turning over the believer for the destruction of his flesh, you thinking his carnality is actual flesh. But in that instance, I looked, and it said that that is a believer that has submitted to blasphemies. And so there is something dark and in his spirit, and that believer's in really total error, and God wants to correct that person, as opposed to what we may be looking at, say, in the instance of Abraham, who made mistakes, fleshly mistakes. You know, he didn't want to be persecuted. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to suffer. And so he did certain things and didn't want to wait. You know, that's how he got involved with Hagar. And so there were things in his flesh that he did not want to endure. And so there was some trouble that came as a result. But the believer that's turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, he's talking about his spiritual condition at that point, a spiritual condition so opposed to the principles of God that he has gone into blasphemy. He has gone into speaking blasphemy. And so that person is also turned over. Job, however, is not so. He was turned over to prove that he was not a hypocrite. You know, so many people today are looking for a person that's truly serving God. And it's not what it used to be, because believers have troubles just like those that are unbelievers have troubles as well. But they're the people of God that are looking for righteousness. They're looking for holiness. They're looking for justice. Someone that will tell the truth and stand by the truth. And they want it. They're demanding it. They're crying out for it. And God will give it. He really will. He will give it. Now, once he gives it, there may be those that want to persecute the truth. They may want to hide the truth. They want to maybe threaten you to keep the truth to yourself or stay silent. But it will come, and it will come out, and it will rise to the top. That truth will be revealed. Going to what I said, who wants to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. I'm going to 2 Timothy 3:12, and it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So even though you may not be totally living godly, even though you want to change some things in your life, you want to stop doing some things, you want to read your Bible more, you want to pray more, you may have not arrived at that total condition where you're totally serving God. But even that person who Satan knows wants to live godly, like Job, he wanted to live godly. I mean, he was checking his children every day and making sure they were thinking right and saying right things, because he's checking to see that their hearts were right before the Lord. And Satan will come to persecute even that person. If you just desire to pray more and be more godly, there is persecution that will come upon that person. So know that. You say, well, I'm not living perfectly, but God is looking at your heart, and so is Satan. He knows something about you. Don't think that he doesn't. And so that person even is subject to persecution. Now, let me see. There's another couple of scriptures that this is the text. There is a blessing. I said there are blessings. And shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Heaven's sake. Now, that is when you are blessed. Now, if you've actually done something wrong, and in a simple way, and if it's like, then it might not be stuck. But there are instances of what you're talking about. You're talking about the spirit to himself. I don't know. Falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And so
God has remedies. He's speaking to whoever's speaking to you or who is adverse to you. And he's dealing with their conscience to the point they're going to be ashamed when it's finally proven that you are righteous and that they are wrong in accusing you. They're going to be ashamed. They're going to suffer in that time and in that day. So as we move through the book of Job, and I'm going to probably select certain chapters to go through because it's a very lengthy book, these principles will probably be repeated over and over again. Well, that is all I have to say for the broadcast. Thank you for listening. If you want to listen to this broadcast again or any other broadcast on the show, you may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders. If you have a question, I come. I know I did not allow questions today, but some of the circumstances of facing. But if you wish to email me, you may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. Certainly, I'm happy to respond to your communications there. Well, that's all I have to say. Have a very, very blessed week. Hopefully you will look at the Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to it. And talk to you next time.
All right.